time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our regular catch-up with the ACT Party, News and Editorial Director Jessica Hopkins spoke to ACT's Simon Court about ACT's stance on issues affecting young voters, including the cost of living and the climate crisis, as well as allegations of ACT platforming candidates with conspiracist beliefs. She started off the interview asking Court why voters, in particular young voters, would benefit from ACT's policies.
New Zealand has reached an inflection point where the policies that have been tried over the past two decades have not worked to solve New Zealand's fundamental issue, which is how do we grow our wealth, how do we increase productivity so that young people who are at school today or at university or who have entered the workforce recently can have some hope of growing their income faster than costs are rising, being able to save from that income to buy their first home or to buy a small business if that's what they want to do. Because right now, the economic settings and the regulatory settings are not right. And what ACT is proposing to do is real regulatory reform of resource management consenting, for example, to make it easier to develop land so that houses can be built more cheaply, to reform building consent rules so that instead of builders and producers having to apply to 67 councils to get a product approved, ACT would say, any building material that's able to be used lawfully in Europe or Japan or the US, any OECD country, could be used here as of right. We think that will help get the cost of building down. And then when we think about wages and salaries, there's massive price pressure on households and consumers at the moment. But a lot of that's coming from inflation that's actually fueled by government's wasteful spending. And so while wages and salaries might have been going up quite a lot, it just hasn't kept up with the price pressure. That's why ACT would say, look, future governments or a government with ACT at the centre is going to have to focus on cutting government's wasteful spending so that it reduces the inflationary pressure that the Reserve Bank is then causing by raising interest rates. So I think a focus on productivity, a focus on making it easier to build, and a focus on reducing government wasteful spending will help restore affordability. Yeah, that's our offer to all New Zealanders, including younger New Zealanders.
ACT would oppose increases to the minimum wage, which would see a lot of young people getting extra income in their pockets. Why would it be beneficial for young people to not have minimum wage increases, in your opinion?
Well, ACT doesn't oppose increases in the minimum wage, but minimum wages have increased much, much faster than the CPI or the rate of inflation over the past 6 years. And what that has done, that has forced a whole lot of cost inflation into businesses and onto employers, which has then flowed through into price inflation. But none of those workers have produced anything more as a result. And so what ACT would want to see is an increase in business productivity that actually means they can pay workers more because they're making more. Labor has taken the opposite approach, and all that's done is fueled inflation. So, you know, ACT are a party of economic rationalists, and while it might be uncomfortable for people to hear this, simply raising the minimum wage does not make people better off when that flows through into price increases in the supermarket and the cost of everything we use and consume. I mean, that's basic high school level economics that this government has ignored. That's why ACT says we need to link minimum wage rises to the CPI or the inflation rate in the future. We need to make it apolitical. How is it that a government comes along and decides what the minimum wage rise should be? It should simply be linked to inflation in the future. Then wage rises won't have as significant impact on inflation as they do now.
The climate is an important issue for many voters, in particular young voters, and if at the helm ACT would repeal the Zero Carbon Act, including the Climate Change Commission and emissions budgets, and also repeal the offshore ban on oil and gas exploration, why would a voter who wants climate action give their vote to ACT?
Well, different voters and different people want different forms of climate action. When I go to Hawke's Bay or I go and visit people in West Auckland where I live, the climate action they want is councils and government to invest in infrastructure that makes their community safe to live in. You know, they want stormwater systems upgraded They want more green spaces for water to go when it floods, because it does flood when it rains heavily for days on end in New Zealand. And they want stop banks built in rural and regional areas so that the rivers don't spread out and flood towns and destroy businesses and production facilities every time there's a heavy rain. And it's clear that infrastructure has not been renewed and upgraded in the way that it should be, often because local government doesn't have the revenue. That's why ACT wants to share revenues from central government with local government in a way that they haven't been in the past few decades. We need to resource local government to actually build better infrastructure to manage climate risk. And then if you're thinking about, well, how do we reduce emissions? Well, we have the emissions trading scheme, and that puts a price on carbon. So every business that emits carbon pays, you know, at the moment around $75 a tonne under the emissions trading scheme to emit carbon. They have a choice. Either they pay to emit carbon and somebody else mitigates it for them in the scheme, either by planting a tree or, you know, injecting that CO2 underground into an underground geological reservoir, like they do with all the gases that come from the geothermal in the central North Island, like they do with, you know, about 9 million tonnes a year of gas that comes from a new field that's just been opened up in Western Australia, the Gorgon Field. It's actually possible to store CO2 underground permanently. You've got these choices, and ACT doesn't think that having a climate change commission and a zero carbon act and giving a minister the power to direct businesses and households what fuel they're allowed to use is going to help reduce emissions. It hasn't. Only technology will, and only giving businesses and consumers clear price signals will.
The Green Party's James Shaw has also suggested that farmers could make more money by cutting their pollution and herd sizes. Is this something that ACT would look into?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't trust any economic modelling offered by the Green Party.
So are you saying that they're lying about that?
I just don't trust it. I mean, James Shaw lecturing farmers on reducing herd sizes and emissions after he went to Glasgow and announced a target that his own officials said couldn't be met and had no idea what the cost was. I mean, why would you trust anything that James Shaw said about what farmers should do? But what I have heard from farmers who I've met with this week and over the past couple of years is that they are reducing on farm emissions. Something like two-thirds of all farmers now have an emissions profile for their property, so they know what their emissions are and they can identify ways to reduce them. And often that doesn't involve planting certain tree species that allow animals to graze under them, and for those trees, certain types of eucalypts, to then be topped every 2 years, and for the top of the trees then to be left in the paddock as food. So that, you know, they're taking up carbon dioxide and they're also a food crop. Now, all of these things are possible, but not by imposing an emissions tax on farmers, imposing on-farm costs. We actually need farmers to solve it for themselves and to come up with solutions before any kind of stick is waved at them by government.
I also wanted to ask you about allegations of candidates with conspiracist beliefs on the ACT Party list, in particular number 13, Ash Palmer, who ACT has continued to support despite making posts online about the New World Order, which is a conspiracy theory that sort of believes that a secret elite force is trying to implement a totalitarian world government. So how can voters be assured that ACT has credible policy if you platform people with these beliefs?
Well, if people have liked or commented on somebody else's post and a few years ago, ACT's not conducting a witch hunt on candidates who've liked or commented on things. What we have assured ourselves of is that the candidates on our list are people who are aligned with ACT values and ACT's culture, which is a culture of respecting others, of not targeting the people, but targeting the policies that have failed New Zealanders. And Ash Palmer, of all people, knows how Labor has failed New Zealanders. And not just Labor, but the Greens with their soft-on-crime policy. Because Ash Palmer is a business owner who owns retail businesses in Huntley and Hamilton. His businesses have been attacked and ram raided. His staff have been threatened and assaulted. And so what Ash Palmer is bringing to ACT is a direct lived experience of what it's like to be a small business owner who lives in fear for himself and his staff when they go to work. And what Ash brings to ACT is he represents a community of people who want are people who commit violent crime and commit retail crime to suffer the full consequences of the law, to be punished, sends a clear signal to those people to stop committing those crimes. And he also wants victims to be supported, because at the moment, the police are running a catch and release program, the justice system's not punishing people, and you've got a government saying, well, hey, you know, wouldn't it be nice if the prison population was reduced by 30%? Why don't we just let them out? And so Ash Palmer is one of those people that is an absolutely fantastic candidate for ACT. And if he's made comments online in the past about things, you know, in a heightened state, because I don't know if you remember when we were all locked down and told to stay home and not talk to our neighbour and not go inside to use the toilet a few years ago, and there was, you know, only one person who could tell you the truth, and that was the Prime Minister from the podium. A whole lot of people were upset and commenting online about things back at that time. Now, we don't need to dwell on that. We need to move forward as a country. Ash is one of those people that we'd be happy to have in our team in Parliament.
Right, but we've seen several candidates drop out of running for ACT, including a candidate who compared vaccine mandates to Nazi concentration camps.
Well, it's totally unacceptable, and that's why that person's no longer a candidate.
Are these extremist values a part of ACT's culture, or are you concerned
Absolutely
about some
not.
Of these beliefs?
Absolutely, yeah. I am concerned when people compare the actions of the New Zealand government to the Nazis and the Holocaust. That's completely unacceptable.
Does ACT plan to make any changes to its vetting process?
The vetting process is carried out by the party, but clearly people who don't have the self-awareness about why you shouldn't compare government policy in New Zealand to the Nazis' Holocaust of the Jewish people, and clearly that person fails the cultural test for ACT. We can't have people in our organisation who say and believe those things. And, you know, you can see what's happening right now in New Zealand. Our own government, our own Minister of Foreign Affairs, wasn't even able to condemn Hamas for their attack on Jewish civilians and the Israeli state on Saturday. They put out a very weakly worded comment about, you know, conflict in the Middle East. ACT believes firmly that it is important that we stand up for the rights of people to actually have their say, but that we certainly don't condone people comparing New Zealand government policy to the Holocaust. That's where they're gone.
Right, well, that's a different issue which we can certainly discuss after the election.
That was ACT's Simon Court speaking to Jess about climate policy and concerns surrounding ACT's candidates.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.